Lord, we love you today. We thank you for who you are and who you are bringing about and causing to become us to be. Let your will be done in each of us, we pray, Lord. Amen. Please be seated. First lesson up there, if you look at it, comes out of Daniel. It's right near the end of the book of Daniel. It's only 12 chapters. Chapter 11 of Daniel is one that's frequently talked about because it has so much prophecy in it that people struggle with and scramble over and step on each other to try and solve it all. But this comes out of chapter 10 of Daniel. And if you'll notice it starts there. I'm starting with you in chapter 10 of Daniel, verse 10. Daniel is laying flat on his face at that point. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you and stand up. For I have now been sent to you. And when he had said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there by the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. And if you turn to chapter 12, first three verses tells you ultimately where this all leads. At that time, Michael, the great prince, who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress, such has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And I'm just going to stop there because it then tells Daniel to roll up the scroll. I'd like to invite kids to come down if you would. And we need this powered up. Good morning. I am so happy today because we got some faces we don't always get to see every Sunday. Always glad to see them. That's all right. That's all right. We'll squeeze together. There you go. Make some room. There you go. Let them slide in there. Here. Can you share? All right, then put your leg over. There you go. Give them a spot right on the end. Perfect. Good. I know you're doing great things in Sunday school. And today, we're going to hear from some of you guys, right? Which means the children's sermon isn't going to be talking just by me, but it's going to be the children doing a little bit of the sermon, right? What's your word that you're remembering? What's the word you've been taught all month long?
Obey.
Obey. That's a big word. It's hard for old people. Sometimes it's hard for little young people, too. But today, we're going to let Miss Sandy or Miss Becky lead us on who's going to start what with where and who.
Here we go.
Are you going to do the song first? Are you going to do
if
the verses first?
If you've been practicing with us downstairs, come on up.
Turn her up a little bit. It's all right if you haven't been practicing. It's okay. You don't have to go up there. They learned some songs. You can go up there if you want. Oh, we're perfect. I'm sorry. Come on up, please. Come on up.
One, two, let's sing.
Obey.
Thank you very, very much. Do we have Bible verses too? Do we have Bible verses?
Sure. Okay, I need the bigger kids. Oh, okay. Bigger kids, I need you guys to come on up. Through our first overarching theme of obedience this month, they were working on learning scripture verses as we went. So they just wanted to share a verse that they had learned. Just to share that with you guys.
If you love me, you will obey what I command. John 14:15.
Nice, thank you.
Listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Proverbs 1:8.
He who obeys instructions guards his life, but he who is contemptuous of his ways will die. Proverbs 19:16.
Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord.
Colossians 3:20. Very nice.
Perfect. All right, can anyone recite any of those verses for us out there? Perfect. That's a big word, isn't it, obey? That's not easy to do, is it? It's only four letters, but it's hard sometimes. Have you guys ever played a game as even a little kid? Played house, played football, played something, soccer, and the kids you're playing with... I think so, whatever. I didn't quite catch that one. Football. Have you ever played with kids and they don't want to follow the rules? And they run off in the wrong direction, or they kick it the way it shouldn't be kicked, or they're what we would call being disobedient to the rules? How does that make you feel? Pretty crummy, right? You want to play a game and they're just going to move the pieces all over the game because they don't know how to O-B-E-Y. That hurts people. So one of the things Jesus said, and he said it so even big people, wait a minute, even big people can understand. Even big people can understand. Shh, 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 shh. Here we go. Even big people can understand. It's that God says, don't tell me you love me, but not obey me. So he's telling big people, oh, I love you, God, I love you, God. And God looks at me and says, then why don't you obey me? If you love me, you will obey me. How many of you have said I love you to your mom and dad? You ready? The Lord Jesus wants you to remember, just like you just taught the big people, if you say you love your mom and dad, but you don't obey them, then your love means nothing. That's the lesson I'm going to try and teach the big people in the sermon today. Can you remember that for me? And you teach them that song, O-B-E-Y, obey your mom. Excellent. Good. We got a treat for you all. Miss Sandy, will you hand them out? Ladies first. You ladies first. But you got to hurry. Yes, babies follow sometimes a little bit different rules, so. You're welcome, honey. Thursday, grief share here at church. A woman that's just recently joined. has a tube in her nose that runs all the way to her stomach. For almost 18 months, she's had to feed herself through that tube because she has a hole that developed in her stomach after a surgical procedure that refuses to heal. And so they were doing this, and no healing, no healing, no healing, no healing, no healing. Grief share. I've got something I would like to share. Go ahead. It's a good thing, though. Well, what is it? The hole is gone. The hole is gone. She said, it's a miracle. Because they told her they've never heard of this. They've never seen anything like this. They looked and they looked and they looked and they could not find the hole anywhere. It's gone. Now we're praying and we're working through things as individuals and as a congregation. And one of the things we're working through is that when people get COVID, we're not sure how that thing is going to turn out. We have some of those people that get sniffles for a day and a half and they walk away from it. And then we have others, like we're praying now for one of our members, John, who is really hurting. It has really taken him down and is attacking most of his system. And so in the middle of it, you think you're praying for John, and I'm going to ask instead the question, what has God been doing with you? I get woken up anywhere between 12 and 3 o'clock to be praying for an hour or two or three sometimes. And so I always go, God, it's so hard to stay awake. I'm so tired, so tired. But Tom Pett sent the song, I Am the Healer. I sent my word to heal you. If we can maybe dig that out and put it on at the end of the service or something. But I put that on. And what is it, Rick Moan? Don Moan. Thank you. Sorry about that. Don Moan is singing, and I go, oh, this is so true, Lord. And so I prayed through that whole song. And then I didn't roll over and turn my cell phone off. And it made noise like it always does. And it went to his next album. And so I listened to 26 songs. Prayed through all 26 of them. And it guided me because songs were, Lord, I need to be more thankful. Thank you, God, for letting me pray for John. Thank you, God, for a family that loves this man as much as they do. It began to guide my prayer. It began to carry me through the night. It began to minister to my spirit because the songs were in such, and you may or may not like him. You don't have to like him. I'm just telling you what God did in my heart. So this is a testimony going, God had to work this thing so that I could continue to stay awake and pray for his next breath. Gee, Lord, I'm so tired. Do I really have to pray for his next breath? And I began to see the shallowness of who I am and the weakness of my faith and how much growing still needs to be done in my life and possibly all of our lives. And you begin to recognize how significant that really is. Candace shared that one of the things that her family has been able to do with John and his daughter, Kathy, excuse me, and she helped take care of their son when he was so seriously near death in the hospital and Children's Hospital. And so they have been sending notes to him and thank you text him for how much they've appreciated him and how much they appreciated his daughter, and they have sent that to her and the family. I'm going, you don't understand the work God is doing, and you think it's John. And I go, it's Bruce. It's you. It's the family over here. It's the individual over there. It's those of us who are struggling with the chronic diseases when we're asking God, when will we get some healing and relief from this particular thing or that particular thing? And so this is the context. I went to Daniel and began to work on this text and understood the significance of what was going on here. And I wanted to make sure you understood it too. Daniel is an old man by many comparisons. Late 80s, possibly some people even predicted somewhere in his young 90s. So he has chosen not to go back to Jerusalem. All right? The people have been in Babylon 70 years. The king gives them permission to leave. Many of the people do not leave. Small quantities of people go back, and they begin to go back, and they try and rebuild their houses. They don't rebuild the walls very much. There's a lot of bad news. Jerusalem is like you walking back into a bombed-out city and saying, let's rebuild the city. And that's why not very many people wanted to go. It was going to be all work and not much else. And yet Daniel stays there. One pastor said, I think it may have been because he knew he could do more good for those people over in Jerusalem as an official in the government than he could for them there as an 80-year-old plus man. And I go, that made sense. But Daniel is in this middle of this experience now, and that's when we understand this, all right? Daniel was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, nor meat, no wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions of any kind for 3 weeks until that was over. 21 days. God spoke of that as humbling himself. It's not really a fast. It just simply said, I didn't eat any of the good stuff. I didn't drink any of the good stuff. I simply saw myself in this role of humbling myself before God, praying for my people, praying for Jerusalem, praying for my homeland, because God said he would restore it, and it seems to be starting so slow, even though the people have permission to go back. And so as he's going through this and trying to work through some of the things the angels have revealed to him, we now get to this point where Daniel is asking God, would you please show yourself with that? And it goes, I, Daniel, excuse me, I've got to go back one verse. I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. He sees a vision. An angel visits him. That's because there's more going on than you and I can see. Daniel gets to see it. That's the miracle of this moment. But it goes, I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So now verse 8, so I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. Flat on my face, I turned to deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking. As I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. Ever tried to get down to the ground in front of church? You want to try it today? If I said it would heal John Polese, would we all do it? I go, is that what? You go, what's God doing? I go, he's doing a ton of stuff in my life. All I want is John well. All I want is his family blessed. All I want is God to do something way beyond my comprehension. I want him to heal the hole in the stomach. I look at myself and I go, why would God answer my prayers? I look at myself and I go, I can't find enough strength some nights to pray. And then I get tired in the morning going, I wish I wouldn't have prayed for 3 hours last night because I had to get up early. And I go, is that really how much I whine and how petty I can be? And the answer comes back, yeah. And so into this situation, there he is. Now verse 10, the part I read to you. A hand touched me. Try to understand the intimacy. This is an angel. The angel reaches into his life, touches him. Now notice, and set me trembling. Strength comes from the angel into his life. And it set me, it actually says in the Hebrew, knees and hands. I don't know why they came up with hands and knees, but it's perfectly acceptable. But set me up on my knees and hands. All right? Goes on from there. But such terror overwhelmed, I'm sorry, last one. And it goes, he said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. You are of great value. You are precious. You are delighted in, Daniel. Okay? And he goes this, I want you to consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you. All this stuff is going on. Daniel seems to be the only one experiencing it. The people around him have run to the woods because they're scared to death of what they don't know. And now he's going to talk to him, and God loves talking to you face to face. He is not interested in humiliating you. Stand up, Daniel. We're going to talk. I want you to look at me face to face, in the eye. I want you to know who's talking to you right now. All right? For I have now been sent to you. This is the angel speaking. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. So now we've got him on his feet. He's shaking yet because of what he's experiencing, beyond what he can comprehend or fully understand. Then it goes on. He continues, do not be afraid, Daniel. And then he tells him why. What are you afraid of? I'll tell you what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of John not getting well. I'm afraid of it hurting his family. I'm afraid of them grieving like I know I grieved over people we've lost, and I grieve over loved ones I've cared about that I've lost. I don't want that. I don't want it for them. I don't want it for him. I don't want it for myself, and I don't want it for my congregation. But he goes on and he says this, do not be afraid. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Do you think God's listening to your prayer? Do you think you're bartering with him because you wake up in the middle of the night and you're a little bit focused and you're so, God, you'd be so thankful. It's 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm praying to you. How lucky you are. He whispers back, excuse me? Right? Why would I think like that? Why would I not realize that it's by grace that God listens to my prayer? By grace, God hears my prayer. By grace, he'll bring the healing. By mercy, I do not deserve that he continues to listen to my prayer. But here's the part that gives hope. The angel points out, from the very first time you prayed sincerely, it was heard. But the healing, the miracle that the angel was supposed to bring to Daniel was hindered for 21 days. I go, do you understand his point? There is a spiritual warfare going around over this congregation. What's successful right now in this congregation? What's working? What's ministering to people? What's the areas that Satan will start and attack most diligently? Are the women growing more mature and growing deeper and communicating better and experiencing unity? We will attack it, says Satan. I'll destroy it. I'll make some of them petty. I'll make them backstabbing. I'll turn them into the very opposite of what God, because I don't want them. Are the men praying too much, even in a text for John? I will wear them down. I will beat them up. I will keep them afraid to say their prayer. And I will keep them from being the men I'm calling them to be. Are the marriages strong? I will attack those marriages. Are the children doing all right? I will attack and destroy them. I hate the family. I hate children with the 3,000 flags out there. You know how many have died in a single day. And you begin to understand that is the demonic attack that we're dealing with. Do you understand? Even from the very beginning, the angelic beings were acting. Satan in the form of the serpent, and then the cherubim at the door of the garden. The angels also were in proper places as you begin to understand some of the things that were going on at the same time. I go, the angelic presence of the angel of death in the 10 plagues. The angel of death came over, took those people out. They didn't just die. They were executed by the angel of death. It was a moment when the angelic and the earth came together in that precious moment. The scripture says, all heaven breaks loose when one sinner comes to his senses and repents. And the repentance then sets them all doing all kinds of things. In 2 Kings, Elisha didn't feel like they were going to make it, that there was not enough soldiers around. And so He says, God, let their eyes be opened. And they look around on all the hills around about the city and all around about them are chariots of fire and people equipped and prepared to fight for them. And that little glimpse of what's really going on is a little glimpse you and I get once in a while. And so even like the Mount of Transfiguration, you get that little glimpse of heaven is existing. Moses and Elijah are existing. Even though you don't get to see them, God is doing a work. How much does Satan want to destroy you? How much does he want to make you sick, terrify you, shame you, embarrass you, cause you to sin, take you down a path that will lead you to destruction? So you begin to go on. It goes this way. Do not be afraid, since the very first day you decided to humble yourself. Two things. Humble yourself before your God and gain understanding. Your words were heard, and I have come to in response to them. But the prince of the Persian Empire resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, the most powerful of the chief princes there, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. And now he says, I have come to explain the vision to you. If I told you you've got another 20 days, 21 days, are you still willing to intercede? What do you want from your fellow believers when it's your turn to be in the middle of whatever crisis or suffering you're going through? Don't we long to have the brothers and sisters truly interceding for us? If the demonic is willing to stop one of the more powerful angels, Gabriel, and require extra help to get the answer to the prayer that was given and sent from God 21 days before Daniel finally experiences it, how many times do we have to learn to do battle with the demonic? This isn't just somebody who has a disease. This is Satan trying to destroy him and his whole family. This is Satan trying to shame, embarrass, bring questions and fears, and instill junk into our lives. And I go, in some ways, that continues to work. And so in the middle of this, we have to begin to understand the message was answered. The prayer was going to be answered in total. The prayer took 21 days for Daniel to answer. What are we doing in the middle of our circumstances? And so you and I begin to understand the significance of this. Now, chapter 11 is a lot of the information on the prophecy, which I'm not going to go over with you, but I want to take you to chapter 12 because this is the bottom line. This is the completion of Daniel's prophecy and his word. And it starts, it goes, at that time, Michael, stand up, the great prince, who stands for your son, your people. And he will arise, and there will be a distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. That's tribulation. All right? Just so you catch some of this, okay? That's the tribulation. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, probably the book of life, but it doesn't say that at this spot, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust, those who are dead, of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who have led many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. That's enough for you to know, Daniel. I can't tell you what God's doing in every area. I can't tell you what God is doing in people who are praying for John or hearing about us praying for John. I only know that when I was told God healed the hole in my stomach because we were praying for that and she was praying for that, it took 18 months, I think, or 16 months, I may have to be corrected, for that to take place. But it was healed. And I go, that's the kind of understanding we have to continue to come to. To come to that point of that kind of prayer warriorship, to understand this is the conclusion when all is said. All the stuff in between is learning how to be faithful in difficult times, learning how to lift up people I may not even agree with, learning how to deal with circumstances that I don't understand why God is doing this. Do you think we might get to a point where this culture might actually wake up and says, No more wickedness. This country has got to stop. And you finally hit that point where enough people say, we need new leadership. We need new levels of holiness. We need new commitment. We need new attitudes, new freedom that has to be given back to the people or given to them for the first time. Do you understand? I don't know what God is doing. I can testify to what he did in my life and is doing in my life and is continuing to do in my life. I can testify how nice it is when I hear John send me a text about the goodness of God and about praying to the Lord and about I'm not in my strength, but I'm in the Lord's strength. To hear a good brother who understands that in a very personal, intimate way, dealing with the circumstances he's in, giving me that testimony, I can tell you God is working through his words in my life, but I don't know what he's doing in every one of your lives. I only know that when we say God is good, he is. I only know that he's doing a work that we can't comprehend. I kept thinking of the Stenson's granddaughter, who we've been praying for a healing there too. And it's almost a similar thing, a hole, but not quite exactly the same. And I go, Lord God, this precious child needs a touch of the miracle from your hand. Please do that for her. And yet at the same time, God goes, keep praying. Keep praying. We have the most unbelievable ability to change the direction of the world. We have an understanding that we can't possibly grab hold of, but sometimes we're busy with the wrong appetite. I, in the middle of the night, want my sleep. Did you ever think of waiting on the meal until you've prayed for quite a while so John can experience an actual meal in his mouth and throat and life again? Do you understand? I go, we have to recognize what God is doing when we can see it and give him praise. Lord, thank you for the healing of the hole in that stomach. But more importantly, Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our lives yet today. We have to continue to grow. This congregation has to continue to grow deeper. Each one of us individually. And every time you think something is going good, please understand, be super aware the demonic is hovering, looking for a way to destroy you. And you just have to stand against it with the authority that Jesus Christ has given you. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Lord rebuke you over my congregation. Lord rebuke you over John's life. The Lord rebuke you in bringing this disease upon him and this destruction and hurt and pain into his family. The Lord rebuke you in the lives of anyone else that is coming to my mind or that I want to pray for. You have no right to be here. I claim him as a child of the King. I claim him as property of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have to leave because of the authority that Jesus Christ has given his church and his people. It's never by my strength, nor I can shout as loud as I want. It doesn't make it more powerful. It makes it powerful because God says yes. So let's pray for that as we continue. Lord, for brothers and sisters, we pray for them. For those in pain, those who are dealing with chronic symptoms and difficulties and diseases, we pray for. For those impacted and under attack by the demonic and the depressing things of life, we rebuke it in your name, Lord Jesus. For people that are suffering with the different difficulties that are going on in their lives, we pray strength for them. We pray against the lies and deceptions of people in politics and leadership. We pray against lies and deceptions of the people that are supposed to be out there choosing that which is best and most beneficial for us. We pray, Lord, for a healing beyond all comprehension for us and for the lives of people around us. We pray, Lord, that the hole in our stomach would be healed by the authority of your word. We pray for that part of our life that continues to bring infection and suffering and difficulty. It would be touched by your spirit. And then we pray that for our family and our extended family, our children and our grandchildren. We pray, Lord, that we would become a place that learns what the fire of God burning in the bellies with that healing touch of your Holy Spirit resting on people, that when we begin to pray, Lord, we pray without ceasing, pray without giving up, understanding the work that you're doing. Lord, you have called us to pray, and you demonstrated praying for hours at a time. You demonstrated praying early in the morning and even sometimes late at night. You demonstrated an intimacy with the Father that you have invited us to experience. So teach us how to hear, how to listen, how to pray. Bring your healing over your people into our lives and to lives through us. Pray this all in your name, Jesus. God's people say, amen.